Bill Owens, you know, I keep hearing, I get up very early in the morning and I listen to the BBC and WAMC, and I'm hearing about China and currency manipulation. And I know that it's a concern to the president. Governor Romney has said, his opponent has said, that China should be labeled on day one as a currency manipulator. I'd like you to just go back a little bit. I know you have the ability to teach. Tell us what this is all about.
Well, you know, what China has done for a very long time is essentially kept the value of their currency low as compared to the dollar.
What does that mean?
Well, in other words, let's use Canada as a good example.
Okay.
Right now, Canada's dollar is on par with the U.S. So that means if you go to Canada and hand them a dollar bill, you get a dollar Canadian back. What China does is it puts itself in a position where it takes that dollar and drives down, in that case, in the exchange that I talked about, if you gave a dollar to the Chinese, you would get back a large number of Chinese currency that would exceed, in effect, a dollar. The impact of that is that when you buy Chinese goods, they are costing you less in the United States. So if I get a product, and let's just say it's a ruler, a plastic ruler, if it was made in the United States, it might cost a dollar. If it's made in China, not only does it cost less to make it, but because of the currency exchange, they're able to sell it for 50 cents. But that's artificial, because if their currency were higher, that might be 90 cents. So they're greatly exacerbating the difference in the price of goods to their benefit. In addition to that, they also offer supports to their industries. So they are, again, artificially decreasing the cost to them to make the product. That creates, in my view, in effect, a currency manipulation situation. And, you know, my opponent says that we may create a trade war with China if we do that. Well, first of all, the person who's running for president in his party agrees with me. Secondarily, the fact is, in my view, if you're one of those millions of people who lost your job because your job went to China, you're going to pretty well determine that you're already in a trade war.
How do you make them stop? I mean, specifically.
Well, essentially, we've been putting pressure on the Chinese. That has caused their currency to float upward to some degree. What we may have to do, if you determine that they are a currency manipulator, is impose tariffs on their goods.
Well, doesn't that start a trade war?
Well, that assumes that you're not already there, right? And that's probably where I break with my opponent. I think that Mr. Romney agrees with me that we're already there and we need to take steps. The president, I think, largely agrees. He's filed several WTO claims against the Chinese for exactly these kinds of activities. So I think that in large measure, the president, Mr. Romney, myself, are all in accord that we need to be doing more to drive the Chinese towards a currency that is floating closer to the dollar.
Well, pardon me for my naivete here, but they are so successful in terms of stimulating their economy that why in the world would they stop? I mean, you know, the United States could be currency rattling, but in the end, you know, those leaders are going to know that if it doesn't, and by the way, their economy is slowing down, that they're in real trouble with the masses.
Well, there's a couple of reasons why they may respond. One, their economy is slowing down. Number two, we're their largest trading partner. So if we begin to become more aggressive in limiting their exports to the United States, that will further drive their economy down. So there is some self-interest here in making sure that they negotiate a deal with us that we can all live with.
Now, there's something I've never understood, and that is a lot of stuff has been shipped to China. Some stuff is coming back, steel and some of the other things in which they've gotten more expensive. Somebody during one of our recent fund drives wrote to me and said one of the things that they got, you know, the incentives, the premiums, was made in China, and they objected to it. But almost everything is made in China. Now, how do we get to take some of that back?
Well, you know, as you suggested, some things are coming back. They're coming back for a couple of different reasons. One, Chinese costs are, in fact, going up. Their labor costs are starting to rise. The other is transportation. You know, as transportation becomes more expensive to get the goods here, it starts to shrink the difference between manufacturing it here in the United States and manufacturing it in China. We have access more easily to raw materials, and we have obviously a shorter shipping distance if you manufacture it in the United States. The big difference has, of course, been labor costs. But as labor costs start to rise over there, and if transportation costs rise, and their access to raw materials rises, or the cost to access that, you start to get then a much closer number in terms of the cost of the goods. I think many Americans and many people that I talk to would be willing to pay a little more if those goods were made in the United States. And, you know, there are some folks who have stores now around the country that are strictly American-made goods. You're starting to see a real interest in this, and I think everybody has to understand that we would all be better off if more people were employed making things in the United States. And so I'm hopeful that that message will get out to the public.
Let's take the case of cars, for example. American cars for a long time, really, according to many of the experts, weren't made that well. Along come the Japanese, they eat our lunch. Do you expect the American people at any point to make a sacrifice and to say, okay, I'd rather have an inferior product? Now, there are people who will tell you that American cars are now much better than they were. And that may be the answer, but it takes a long time for people to believe it.
Well, clearly, I think that the auto industry has made tremendous strides in terms of their own economies and the products that they're producing. You know, and I think that word is out there. People are happy with the products that they're receiving from Detroit. And that does take a little bit of time to evolve, but I think it is evolving. And I think Detroit is doing a good job of making sure that they're products function at a very high level, and I think they're very competitive today with foreign imports.
Okay, let's talk just for 2 minutes, Bill Owens, about Social Security and Medicare. I thought when they announced that Paul Ryan was going to be the vice presidential candidate, they were out of their minds because of Medicare and Social Security. Has that proven to be the case?
Well, it certainly sharpened the debate. You know, my opponent keeps attacking me on the basis that the Affordable Health Care Act took $700 and some billion out of Medicare. Of course, we all know that's been debunked, and it isn't true. What it did was it reduced reimbursements going forward to doctors and hospitals. Now, some people argue, well, then that's going to mean that hospitals will go out of business and doctors won't take Medicare. Well, what they're forgetting is the other side of this coin is 30 million people with an insurance card. So the hospitals and doctors are going to get reimbursement from 30 million people that they weren't getting it from before. And that's the reason the American Hospital Association supported the bill, was that they knew they were simply changing the place from which they were getting their reimbursement, not really suffering that level of a decline in reimbursement.
Bill Owens, wonderful to talk to you again. Once again, I always learn something from you, and I appreciate so much the fact that during this busy season, you take the time to talk to us. I want to say good luck to you, Bill, and I hope that things are fine.
Thanks very much, Alan.